The First United Methodist Church podcast is recorded live every week at 4832 Tahunga Avenue in North Hollywood, California. Thank you for downloading.
Scripture reading is from the second chapter of Luke, verses 1 through 20. And Jeff mentioned earlier one of our departed, Rosemarie Sparling. She always read this verse every Christmas Eve, and she always read from the King James Version. So in honor of Rosie, we're going with the King James Version tonight. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenus was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, and this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into the heavens, the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and they found Mary, and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told to them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, and she pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Pray with me, if you will. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come with the fire and burn. Come with the rain and cleanse. Come with the wind and breathe. Come with the light and reveal. Convict us, convert us, consecrate us. Claim and call us with your care and concern, O God, until we do something. Amen. Over the 30 years I've been in ministry, I've tried to use other texts and always come back to Luke because, people complain mightily if I don't use it, especially on Christmas Eve, and B, because it's probably the best known and fullest text for such a service. Matthew has more of a genealogy, a little bit of a birth narrative. Mark doesn't have much of anything. Jesus springs full grown, and John goes esoteric on us and does a lot of theology in his opening, and which frightens some of us, but it's a great text as well. What's important about this text and about this night is that we know this story. We've heard it. Even if we're fairly newbie Christians, we've heard this story over and over and over again. We know about the shepherds and the stars, and we've heard stories and traditions, and it's a really important thing for us to understand how they fold into each other and also how they need to be renewed or reborn and reformed in different ways. One of the things that happens when I'll Be Home for Christmas is shared is that some of us who knew Billy Schaefer and Carl Capon and Rose Sparling can see them. We can feel them up here singing these things. That's why Gary and Jeff do this. Not just for memory, but to re-signify the tradition. That's what faith is about, re-signifying the tradition. And some of that was born even this evening as Roger played his prelude. The arrangement was written by Gary Soule, who was up here playing the guitar. I know it was a thrill for him, but it's a thrill for me because that's another piece of theology. It's re-signification of the tradition. That's what we ought to be about, passing on the tradition. I know a couple of you, because I know most of you here fairly well, were getting a little twitchy when the kids were running. I'm being polite. But here's what we have to understand. If we don't allow the children to dance and play tag in this sanctuary as they are small, they will want nothing to do with it when they're 40. I know it's a holy place. Remember, I have this highfalutin education that I'm supposed to know this stuff, but it's not a mausoleum. We aren't to be silent. We ought to be able to play. So let's go on with story here. The other part of the story is, I don't know where I stole this from, but I love the analogy. What if the wise men were wise women? Well, here's what would have happened. They would have asked for directions and wouldn't have gotten lost. They would have arrived on time. They would have cleaned the stable and baked a casserole, and they would have brought disposable diapers as gifts. We know all these to be self-evident and true. That's how stories can be changed. I don't know what your story is. I share part of it in the reflection for the service. My memories of Christmas are all lovely. My parents' memories of Christmas aren't all lovely. My mother lost her own mother when she was 9, and that ended her childhood. She had to raise, functionally become an adult at 9 and help raise her 3 younger sisters. My father's parents divorced when he was 11, and it was a very unusual thing then, but that's what happened. And he was on his own from the time he was 11. Somehow, it isn't a miracle that they were able to have children. That's simple biology. What's the miracle is that they were pretty decent parents. Yes, they were flawed, but aren't we all? I mean, isn't that part of the deal? We're just human. They were good folks. And I have these wonderful memories. Not everybody does. Billy Schaefer, who I mentioned earlier, was a very well-known trombonist, thought to be one of the better trombone players in the world. And he lived well into his 80s. When he lost his chops, as they say, he was ready to go. But when one night we were standing here as they were rehearsing, like he needed to rehearse, he said, "You know, I've been playing. I'll be home for Christmas for 50 years. And I never made it home." And the reason he never made it home is he was a good musician and he was always working. So let's go back to the story for a minute. And Gary read what I could not read, the King James Version. My tongue would have fallen out of my head. I'm reading from Eugene Peterson's The Message, which is going to cause you to cringe or be twitchy or whatever it's going to do for you. About the time Caesar Augustus ordered a census to be taken throughout the empire, this was the first census when Quirinius was governor of Syria. Everyone had to travel to his own ancestral hometown to be accounted for. So Joseph went from the Galilean town of Nazareth to Bethlehem of Judah, David's town, for the census. As a descendant of David, he had to go there. He went with Mary, his fiancée, who was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. She gave birth to a son, her firstborn. She wrapped him in a blanket and laid him in a manger because there was no room in the hostel. And I'm going to end there because it gets a little stranger after that. And I've already told several stories about when I said bands of cloth one year, I had an irate person call me and tell me that I ruined his Christmas. And I thought, I didn't know I had that much power. But anyways, we want to hear what we want to hear in the order we want to hear it. And sometimes if it's disrupted, we become uncomfortable. The fact is, Eugene Peterson is a fine theologian and a good Presbyterian. And he wrote this not to upset people. He wrote it to make the Bible more real for some people who find it obtuse. We have to be willing to understand that for some people, the story has to be told a certain way, but we also need to understand that for others, they want to tell the story, to tell the truth in a different way. Ray Hanania is a Chicago Palestinian American. He's also a comedian and a journalist. He's married to a Jewish woman. He once said that he loved to go with his wife to Israel so she can visit the wailing fence. He said that if they can call the barricade outside Bethlehem a fence, then that structure at the site of the old temple must also be a fence. And I know some of you know what we're talking about here. In 2003, modern-day Palestinians staged an entry into Bethlehem of Mary and Joseph. And guess what? They couldn't get in because of that fence and the military blockades which prevented them from. The truth of the matter is, if Jesus came back, he couldn't get to Bethlehem today. That's the way it works. Sometimes the stories changed. Now here we go from at it from a different angle. And this is a high and holy text as far as I'm concerned. It's out of LA Times Funnies this very day. It's Candorville by Darren Bell. The issue in here, the lead character in this has just won custody of his two-year-old son. And he's a journalist and a bit of a scholar, as you will hear. And his little boy, who's about two, says, "Where did Quithmeth Tweed come from?" Well, that's an interesting story. It all started back in AD, or Common Era, for the people who know what that means. It all started, Common Era, 324, with Roman Emperor Justinian. Christian Romans worshipped Jesus, but pagan Romans worshipped the sun. Emperors Hadrian and Aurelian filled Rome with spectacular sun temples. There were annual festivals incorporating a tree celebrating the birth of the sun, which was said to be on December 25th. When Christianity supplanted paganism in Justinian's day, it co-opted the pagan rite of December 25th and the pagan use of the Christmas tree. The next caption is blank, as your stares are right now. And the little boy looks at his dad and says, "Huh?" And the dad smiles and says, "The Christmas tree came from the forest." Oh. Sometimes we want too much information. We give too much information. And that was the case in this little segment. But we always have to be about story, understanding, incorporating, living, and resignifying the story. How many of you know the nature of snowflakes is that no two are alike? Have most of you heard this? Yeah. No two snowflakes are alike. Well, I learned something even more today. This is also out of the LA Times, and no, I'm not going to read the article. I just want to get the names right. It's The title of the article was "The Ace of Flakes," and Amiska Klon wrote the article on a Caltech physicist. His name is Dr. Kenneth Langmetz. I hope I didn't ruin either of those names. Anyways, he studies snowflakes. That's what he does for a living. It sounds fascinating or really boring. I don't know which. But the way he explained it, I loved his analogy. He said, she asked him, she said, "What do you think about this?" And he says, "Oh, it's most physicists are studying Higgs bosons or black holes, which nobody can describe or explain because we are still learning so much about them. A snowflake, everybody can understand." And he said, "And the other wonderful thing about my life's work being the study of snowflakes is that there's no toxic waste. At the end of the day, I can pour my testing down the sink and then start anew learning the next day." I don't know whether you find this as both humorous and exciting as I do, but it relates to the text. Believe it or not, it relates to the text because we ought to be about the stories we know as people of faith. We ought to be about some method of passing on the joy we know, the hope we have. If we aren't about the goodness that is this life, what are we about? I hope you have a blessed Christmas. I know I will, because I'm going to be around people I love. If Christmas isn't everything you want it to be, you have a choice to change that. And I invite you to do so. Here and now, tomorrow and tomorrow, be about the story that is the love of God. So be it, and amen.
Thank you for listening to the North Hollywood First United Methodist Church Sermon Podcast, delivered by Dr. Joey McDonald. For more information, please check out nohomethodistchurch.com or find us on Facebook and Twitter under NoHoFUMC.